إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. So today then we're on the chapter باب قول الله تعالى عالم الغيب فلا يظهر على غيبه أحدا. And also the statement إن الله عنده علم الساعة. And also أنزله بعلمه. And also وما تحمل من أنثى ولا تضع إلا بعلمه. And also إليه يرد علم الساعة. قال يحيى الظاهر على كل شيء علما والباطن على كل شيء علما. In this particular chapter now, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, in this section under Kitab al-Tawheed, he mentions this chapter which he entitles with those ayat of the Qur'an. All of these ayat of the Qur'an, they are referring to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of the unseen, and that we do not have that knowledge of the unseen. All of this is referring to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of every affair, knowledge of that which is hidden to us and that which is apparent, knowledge of the past, the present, the future, and even those things that do not occur. Had they occurred, then Allah knows how they would have occurred. Al-Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentions, هذه الترجمة لإثبات صفة العلم لله عز وجل. This particular chapter, it is to affirm the attribute of knowledge to Allah. To affirm the attribute of knowledge to Allah. والعلم لله سبحانه وتعالى ثابت وقد جاء على وجوه متعددة. And this attribute of knowledge, it is something affirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it has been mentioned in multiple forms. This attribute and this issue has been mentioned in multiple forms. So what is knowledge? When we're talking about this attribute of Allah, of knowledge, then what is knowledge? Al-ilm, idrakul ma'lum, ala ma huwa alayh. Knowledge is that you have a perception, an understanding, a recognition of something in its reality. You have a recognition and understanding of something upon its reality. Meaning, if you did not understand something upon its reality, you do not have knowledge of it. If you did not understand something upon its reality, then you do not have knowledge of it. Easy examples, anything you want to think of, a mobile phone. The one who works with mobile phones has knowledge of them, has knowledge of the reality of them, can open them up, fix the parts and do everything. You as an individual who is not qualified in that, do not have knowledge of those aspects of the phone because you do not understand the reality of those affairs. You open it up, you won't be able to do anything, you don't know what to do. You don't know where the parts are, how it fixes, where, how. You do not have the knowledge of the reality of that thing in its reality, in its form, in its the actuality of it. So knowledge is to have an understanding and a recognition of something upon its actuality, upon its reality. If you have an understanding that opposes that, it isn't knowledge. You think on the car that the exhaust is in the engine side, then you do not have knowledge of cars, because you have understood it upon a manner which is not its reality. So knowledge is understanding something upon its reality. If you understand it in a manner other than its reality, then that is not knowledge. So al-ilm, idraku al-ma'lum ala ma huwa alayh. فَقَوْلُنَا إِدْرَاكُ خَرَجَ بِهِ الْجَهْلُ الْبَصِيرُ وَقَوْلُنَا عَلَى مَا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ خَرَجَ بِهِ الْجَهْلُ الْمُرَكَّبُ لِأَنَّ الْجَهْلُ نَوْعَان. So the Shaykh is now explaining this concept of knowledge, explaining the concept of knowledge, and that the opposite of this knowledge and recognizing something upon its reality is ignorance of it. The opposite of knowledge is jahl, ignorance. But that ignorance is two types. Jahl, ignorance, is two types. Jahlun basit, what you may call the simple, straightforward ignorance, the simple, straightforward ignorance. And secondly, jahl murakkab, which you may call the compound ignorance. The meanings of both we'll explain now. The first type, jahl basit, the simple, straightforward ignorance, is that a man says to you, in fact the Shaykh gives an example, let's use the example. If a man says to you, mata kanat ghazwat badr, when was the battle of Badr? When was the battle of Badr? If a person answers and says, لو قال كانت غزوة بدر في رمضان في السنة الثانية, بما تصفون هذا المجيب, he says to you that it was in the second year of the Hijrah in Ramadan. What are you going to say about this person? He's عالم, he has knowledge, عالم in the linguistic form, that he has knowledge. He has knowledge of this affair. لأنه ذكر الأمر على ما هو عليه, because he has understood this affair upon its reality, upon what it is. Battle of Badr was in the second year of Hijrah in Ramadan. So he has answered you correctly. He has knowledge. He understands this affair, this question and the answer to it, upon its reality as it is. But another person, رجل آخر, he says, كانت, oh, he says, لا أدري. You ask another person, متى كانت غزوة بدر? He says, لا أدري. He says, I don't know. Straight out, just says to you, I don't know. The battle of Badr, when was it? He says, I don't know. This one is characterized with جهل بسيط, simple, straightforward, base level ignorance. He says, I don't know. جهل بسيط. هذا جهل بسيط. Third person, رجل آخر, you ask him, متى كانت غزوة بدر? He says, كانت في السنة الخامسة من الهجرة. He says to you, the battle of Badr, of course, yes, it was in the fifth year of Hijrah. His answer indicates he has not understood the reality of the affair upon its reality, because the reality of the affair is that it was in the second year of Hijrah. So already you know that he doesn't have ilm. He has not understood the affair upon its reality. He's told you the fifth year of Hijrah, when we know it was the second year of Hijrah. But his jahl, when he says to you, of course, yes, fifth year of Hijrah, he's sure of his answer. He knows, he thinks he knows, that is the answer. His jahl is now jahl murakkab. A person who doesn't know, but he doesn't know he doesn't know. He doesn't know, but he doesn't know he doesn't know. So he gives you an answer thinking that's what the knowledge is in that affair, and in reality that is not the knowledge in the affair. But he thinks it is. So his jahl isn't just simple ignorance, I don't know. His is worse. He doesn't know, but then on top of that he's making it worse by thinking it's something else. At least the other one just said, I don't know, I'm not going to say I don't know. His was simplistic jahl. This one is compound. Compound meaning built one on top of the other. So in the base level, he doesn't know. That's a level of ignorance. But then on top of that, he thinks it's something which it isn't. That's another level of ignorance. Therefore, it is now built up ignorance. Compound. That's why they have that famous poetry. They mention about the donkey. Himaru, I think his name was Tuma. The Himaru Tuma, I think his name was Tuma, they say in the poem. Where the donkey says, if they, law ansafuni, if they were just to me, the donkey is saying in this poem, if they were just to me, they did me right, I would be the one riding him, not him riding me. Law, something like, law ansafuni lakuntu rakibtuhu, something like that. The donkey says, the himar says, if they were just to me, I would have been riding on top of him. I think his name was Tuma or something like that. I would have been riding on top of him. Because then he says, because me, yani the himar says about himself, I, the donkey, I have jahl basit. I know I don't know. I'm upon ignorance. Him, he's upon jahl murakkab. Because he was known as a man who used to give fatawa without knowing what's going on. He used to give fatawa without knowing what's going on. This is the ruling, that is the ruling, and he's wrong. So the donkey says, if they were just to me, they'd let me ride him. At least my ignorance is a simplistic ignorance. I say I don't know. Him, he doesn't know, but on top of that, he thinks he knows. And he's giving out all types of fatawa which are wrong. So if they were just, they'd let me ride him, not him riding me. I'm jahl basit, he's jahl murakkab. So that is the difference between those two types of ignorance. فَالرَّبُّ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is عَالِم. Allah is the عَالِم. أي مُدْرِك لِلْمَعْلُومَاتِ عَلَى مَا هِيَ عَلَيْهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of the details and everything in their reality as they are. In reality, in their essence, Allah is aware of that knowledge, absolutely. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عِلْمَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Then on top of that, you should understand that the knowledge of Allah is أَزَلِي أَبَدِي. It is eternal. The knowledge of Allah is eternal. هذا أولا. This is the first thing. The knowledge of Allah encompasses everything upon its reality. Nothing is hidden from Him. And His knowledge is absolutely eternal. وعلم الله سبحانه وتعالى عام شامل لكل شيء جملة وتفصيلا. And the knowledge of Allah is all-encompassing. All-encompassing of everything. Generally and detailed. Generally and specifically. Everything. Whatever it may be. Open, closed, apparent, hidden. Every affair, Allah's knowledge encompasses it. حَتَّى إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ دبيب النمل في أي وقت من أوقات الدنيا يعلمه تفصيلا ويعلم أين تضع النملة خطوها تفصيلا. كل شيء يعلمه جملة وتفصيلا. الله سبحانه وتعالى is aware of the walking of the ant, where the ant places its footsteps, the exact locations, wherever in the world. Allah is aware of the walking of that ant and where its feet, the footsteps of the ant are upon the earth. لأن الله خلق كل شيء. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything. والخالق لا بد أن يكون عالما. And the creator has to be knowledgeable of his creation. The creator of that creation, no doubt, must be knowledgeable of that creation. Again, if you look at the simplistic world and the examples of it, go back to the phone, the one who builds that phone, those people who manufacture those phones, they have knowledge of them. They have built them. They know everything about them. They know where the wires go, where the mic goes, where this goes, where that goes. They have built them. They know. The one who creates something, he knows about it. So the creator, Allah, is all knowledgeable of his creation, no doubt. And that reminds me of that story I've mentioned many times before. When that man, they mention a narration of a man who claimed rububiyyah for himself. He said, he is the Khaliq. He can create. He said to them, look, this jar, this bottle, is there anything alive in this bottle right now? Empty bottle, empty jar. He said, no. So then he got some old vegetables, some old potatoes and old carrots and old cabbage, and some old meat rotting away. Threw it all into the bottle. He said to them, is there anything alive in there? They said, no. Old potatoes, old carrots rotting away, old vegetables rotting away, the old meat rotting away, dead everything, there's nothing alive in there. He said to them, watch, I will create life. Closed the bottle, closed the jar. Said to them, look, I will leave this here in open observation, will not touch it, I will create life in this jar. Nobody will open it up, I will not open it, I will create life from all of this death, nothing in there, you see alive. They left the jar. They came back later, a day or two, whenever it was. Picks up the jar. He says, it's been in open view. Nobody's tampered with it. Look now. What do you see inside of the jar? The maggots. The dude. Those maggots from the dead meat and the, what do you call it, the fly eggs. The larva. Those types of things, they were there. They've now grown into maggots. He says, look. Before there was just dead meat, dead vegetables. Look, I told you I can create life. I have created these maggots. Nobody opened the jar. Where have they come from? I created them. So then they say there was a young boy in the audience sitting there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him understanding. So the boy said to the man, you created these maggots? Man says, yes. He says, tell us, how many maggots did you create? I see many maggots. How many did you create? You created them, you gave them life. Tell us, how many did you create? You must know, obviously, you created them. So now the man is looking into the jar and they are moving around everywhere. Hasn't got a clue how many are in there. 20, 30, 50. Doesn't know. So now he's left astounded. He's left baffled. He is the one claiming to have created them, yet he hasn't got a clue how many he's created. Doesn't know at all how many are in there. How can he be the creator? Then the boy said to him, "You created them? Then tell us, when will you give them death? Leave the jar closed, when will they all die? You gave them life, you say? Then surely you are the one who will give them death. So when will they all die?" Again, the man has no idea. Maybe they'll survive in there for a week, for a month. How does he know? Again, he has no idea. So again, that was a refutation of him. You cannot be the creator and you do not know when you will give them death. How can you claim to have given them life and you do not know when you will give them death or how you will give them death? So the creator, that was a refutation upon that man then and his claim of rububiyyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, has absolute knowledge of his creation. Has absolute detailed knowledge of every affair. Everyone, it is known to Allah whether your place is in paradise or your place is in the hellfire. Everything written 50,000 years before the creation. In the hadith, كتب الله مقادير الخلائق قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote the decree of all of this creation 50,000 years before the creation of it, before the creation of the heavens and the earth. 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth, Allah wrote the decree of all of what is to occur. This gathering that we see, all of it written in the preserved tablet 50,000 years, not before you were born, 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. So everything is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On top of that, علم الله لم يسبق بجهل ولا يلحقه نسيان. These are all principles and these are all points of aqidah regarding the knowledge of Allah. That we say the knowledge of Allah was not preceded by ignorance, and neither is it followed by forgetfulness. Because the characteristic of our knowledge is what? By default, before we have knowledge of something, we have ignorance of that thing. Before you learn how to do something, you did not know how to do that thing. So before you acquire knowledge of something, you must have been in a state of ignorance regarding it. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His knowledge is not preceded by ignorance. His knowledge is not preceded by ignorance. And after the knowledge, there is no such thing as forgetfulness. Because another characteristic of our knowledge is that once we gain that knowledge, it can be forgotten. The knowledge you gain can be forgotten. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither is His knowledge preceded by ignorance, and neither is there any possibility of forgetfulness. Such is the perfection of the knowledge of Allah. Allah said in the Quran, or Musa alayhi salam said regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayat of the Quran, علمها عند ربي في كتاب لا يضل ربي ولا ينسى. That my Lord, لا ينسى, does not forget. Here this is a negation. We said before, we affirm to Allah what Allah has affirmed for Himself and the Messenger has affirmed. And we negate what Allah has negated from Himself. Allah negates here. La yansa. Allah does not forget. إذن علم الله واسع شامل أزلي أبدي لم يسبق بجهل ولا يلحقه نسيان. So the knowledge of Allah is expansive, all-encompassing. It is eternal. It is not preceded by ignorance. And it does not have forgetfulness attached to it. Now, as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, نريد أن نعرف ما هي الفائدة من معرفتنا بهذه الصفة العظيمة. What is the benefit from us having knowledge of this attribute of Allah? What is the benefit of us having knowledge of this attribute of Allah? Al-fa'ida, the benefit is, أَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا عَلِمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعُ الْعِلْمِ وَأَنَّهُ مُحِيطٌ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَحْمِلَهُ هَذَا الْاَعْتِقَادِ عَلَى الْاِسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. If a person recognizes, you realize and you understand that the knowledge of Allah is all-encompassing and that everything is known to Allah and nothing is hidden from Him, then that should enable you and carry you to a point whereby you will become upright upon the commands of Allah, knowing that Allah sees you and witnesses you and knows everything about you. Then it causes you to become upright and to abandon the wrongdoing and the sinning and the error, knowing that Allah sees you in all of what you do and is aware of everything that you do. Then it enables you to have that uprightness. وهذه مسألة تغيب عن كثير من الذين يتكلمون في صفات الله. تجدهم يتكلمون على إثبات الصفة لكن لا يتكلمون عما يثمره الاعتقاد بالنسبة لهذه الصفة. This is something many people they are ignorant of. Many people, they don't recognize this benefit. They talk about the names and attributes of Allah, and they don't mention the benefits behind knowing them. They don't mention the fruits that a person reaps from having knowledge of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here the Shaykh says, one of the fruits that you reap from having knowledge that Allah is all aware of everything is that it enables you to become more upright upon the obedience and worship of Allah. يعني أنت إذا علمت أن الله يعلم كل شيء هل تضمر في قلبك ما يخالف الاستقامة وأنت تعلم أن الله يعلم ذلك. If you know that Allah is all aware of everything, then will you be able to conceal anything in your heart which is in opposition to uprightness, knowing that Allah is aware of what you conceal, knowing that Allah is aware of what is in your heart? You cannot hide any affair. So then this gives you an understanding and a recognition that you cannot conceal or hide anything from Allah. لا هل تفعل ما يخالف الاستقامة. Then would you do that which opposes being upright and upon the commandments of Allah, knowing that Allah sees you in everything you do, even if you conceal your sin from the eyes of the people, then you are aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware. then that brings you, gives you some encouragement and some fear to stop yourself, knowing that even if you are concealing it from the people, you cannot conceal it from your Lord. هَلْ تَقُولُ مَا يُخَالِفُ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ Would you ever say something which opposes uprightness then? هَذِهِ مَسْأَلَةِ يَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَجْعَلَهَا عَلَى بَالِهِ أنه ليس المقصود أن نعلم ما يتعلق بالعقيدة فقط من الأسماء والصفات. This is something everybody needs to be aware of. Knowing about the names and attributes of Allah, it isn't just a knowledge that we gain in some robotic fashion. Rather, it is a knowledge which enables you to understand your Lord, understand the attributes of Allah, and therefore impact upon you. Impact upon how you behave. بَلِ الْمَقْصُودِ مَعَ ذَلِكَ مَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَى هَذَا الْاِعْتِقَادِ مِنْ تَصْحِيحِ الْمَسْلَكِ وَالْاِسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَى الْأَمْرِ But what is required from you is to then correct yourself and to rectify yourself, knowing that Allah is all knowledgeable and all aware of everything that you do and say and think. Mas'ala. The Shaykh, he brings up a point to discuss here now. Man ankara an yakuna Allahu aliman fa innahu kafir. A person who rejects that Allah is the all-knowledgeable, then he is a kafir. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ الْإِمَامُ شَافِعِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ بِنِسْبَةِ لِلْقَدَرِيَّةِ قَالْ جَادِلُوهُمْ بِالْعِلْمِ فَإِنْ أَقَرُّوا بِهِ خُصِمُوا وَإِنْ أَنْكَرُوا كَفَرُوا لِأَنَّ الْقَدَرِيَّةِ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَمْ يُقَدِّرْ عَمَلَ الْعَبْدِ وَلَمْ يَشَأْهُ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ عِلَاقَ بِهِ فَقَالْ جَادِلُوهُمْ بِالْعِلْمِ يعني مسألة العلم فاسألوهم هل الله عالم بأعمال العباد أو لا إن قالوا لا فهم كفار وإن قالوا نعم قد خصموا وذلك بأن يقال هل وقعت هذه على خلاف معلومه أو على وقفه إن قالوا على خلاف معلومه فهذا هو إنكار العلم وإن قالوا على وفقه فيلزمهم أن يقولوا بأنها وقعت بمشيئته. The one who rejects the knowledge of Allah is a kafir. That's why Al-Imam Shafi'i said, debate with the Qadariyah upon the issue of knowledge. Ask them, is Allah the knowledgeable? If they say no, kafir. Because the Qadariyah, they say, the Ghulatul Qadariyah, that Allah doesn't know what we're going to do until we do it. Allah doesn't decree what we're going to do until we do it. So they are basically rejecting the knowledge of Allah. Allah doesn't have knowledge of that until we do it. So Imam Shafi'i said, debate them on the issue of knowledge. Ask them, has Allah got knowledge of what you do or not? If they say no, that's kufr anyway. If they say yes, Allah has knowledge of it, then they are defeated. They have affirmed that Allah has the knowledge, Allah has the attribute of knowledge. So he gives that example just to highlight that you cannot reject the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the introduction to this particular chapter in Al-Bukhari. That is the introduction before the Shaykh goes on to the actual title and the hadith. However, I'm going to have to apologize and you'll have to leave the lesson short today due to certain health. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll carry on with the chapter and the hadith and the actual heading and the explanation of it from the next lesson inshallah, talking about this characteristic and this attribute of knowledge of Allah and the hadith which talk about the knowledge of Allah and affairs that we do not have knowledge of. All of this will then be explained now in the narrations that are to follow. So now you have the introduction on the topic of the knowledge of Allah. And we'll carry on with the chapter and the ahadith from next week, inshaAllah ta'ala. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.